You're about to listen to a talk given at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown at the beautiful Academy of Medicine in Atlanta, Georgia. If you want more information on our center, please see our Facebook page or our website. Thanks for listening. I hope these words of wisdom make a positive difference in your life.
Our speaker this morning is, I am proud to say, a personal friend. I've known and loved him for more than 15 years. Officially, his title is, and this sounds very, very erudite, the spiritual leader of the Centers for Spiritual Living, and he is one of two co-leaders of our parent organization, along with Dr. John Waterhouse, who spoke here last year. Some of you remember that. His list of accomplishments is long and impressive, and he begged me to please not go over them. Did I tell you he was humble? He is. I will, however, tell you that he writes and blogs extensively and travels all over the U.S., Canada, and internationally, speaking about the science of mind and new thought principles with the goal of raising the consciousness of humanity so that we will one day create a world that works for everyone. On a more personal note, he is one of the more interesting and authentic people I have ever known. He and his beautiful wife of 40 years or so, Dr. Deborah Gordon, who I know personally. She's going to hear this and going to love it. Dr. Deborah, they were actually high school sweethearts. Isn't that wonderful? Aw, everybody say aw, isn't that cute, okay? They have built a successful center in his hometown, Kelowna, British Columbia, which is in Western Canada, for those of you who may be geographically challenged. They raised two children, and they now have two beautiful grandchildren, whom he says are the light of his life. I deeply appreciate him taking time away from his family to be with us today on our second anniversary. My friends, please join me in welcoming my friend, Dr. Ken Gordon.
I'll just take these off so there's nothing between us. I can still see you. It's a nearsighted thing, not a farsighted thing. Thank you. Thank you, Reverend Paul. It's a little intimidating to be here and speak at this church because I use mostly stolen material. And between Erica and Lisa and Paul, that's where I get most of my stolen material from. So now I have to come up with something new and something relatively exciting, I guess. First off, I'd just like to say congratulations on 2 years.
Yeah.
I'll be 100% honest with you. If every single center in the world were to open and after 2 years look like this one and feel like this one, we would not be having a problem in the world in expanding this message. It's just spectacular to come here and see this turnout and mostly to feel the energy, as Lisa and Erica shared, that exists in the center and what's going on here. And I'm extremely impressed. You have a beautiful facility. Just blows me away. It's so incredible. And more importantly, you have a beautiful consciousness that's leading you. I am so confident and secure in the knowledge of the message that you're receiving here from Reverend Paul, Reverend David, Marilyn, Angela, and Ursula. I know most of them personally, and I've known them for a long time, and I just bless them and honor them, and I know that what's being taught here is the truth, and I want you to know what incredible consciousness you have in order to draw such a magnificent team of teachers. This is a simple teaching tool that we utilize and use, this thing called Science of Mind. It's not complex at all. As a matter of fact, just about every word of it was covered here this morning in the Declaration of Principles and the beautiful poem that Reverend Marilyn, or the beautiful reading that Reverend Marilyn did. It just about covered everything that we need to know to be able to move forward in the world and to bring our dreams into demonstration, manifestation, fruition. It's all laid out there and it's all perfect. The problem is that it's not, because it's a simple message, doesn't mean that it's an easy message to do. And that's the challenge, because it doesn't demand anything short of the entirety of your life to lean into it. It demands that you actually apply yourself to it. There's no easy answer for it. There's no quick fix. There's no little pill that you take. There's no 30-second spot that you can grab that's going to be able to bring into being what it is that we want to create in our lives and what it is that we want to create in our experiences. What it demands is it demands a complete and absolute shift of your consciousness to be able to embrace the idea and the ideal that you want to have in your experience. It works on every level you can imagine. It works on the individual level, and it works on the universal level. And it works in perfection every single time. And it works the same way on all those macro, micro ideas, all the way up the scale. So when I come here, and my job, as Paul so aptly put it, is to really go out into the world and share the message and build the alliances and build the group of people so that what we can do is awaken humanity and create a world that works for all, the first step for that is for us to enter into our own consciousness and awaken ourselves so that we can create a world that works for us. So that we can lay it out before us and we can make sure that we have what it is that we want in our life in this magnificent thing that we call life. Because the base truth is that everything that we desire is not something that we're going to create, it's not something we're going to build, it's not something that we even have to locate or find. We know where it is. What it is something that we have to awaken ourselves to and allow our consciousness to enter into the prosperity of it, to the realization of it, so that it can become our experience. So that it can actually enter into our world and enter into our lives. And the challenge isn't even understanding that. The challenge is keeping steadfast in our consciousness, steadfast in our beliefs, steadfast in our priorities, steadfast in our vision, steadfast in our goals, so that what we do is we allow the energy to be able to bring it forward into our experience instead of something else. Because most of us have something else that's happening in our lives. And as you enter into your second year of ministry, the second year of this creation, I will tell you that it works for your community equally as well. And from what I can see, the first 2 years has been held steadily in mind that you're going to have a successful, loving, caring, teaching organization that's going to be able to fulfill and provide tools that will bring you to your own experience of goodness and greatness and be able to recognize it in your life. And the way that you created that over the last 2 years is the way that you're going to create the third year if you are sane and if you are responsible and if you really want it. But how you do that is by maintaining a priority on what it is that you want rather than a priority on something else. And that's the unfortunate problem that most of us have, is that something else occurs that seems to draw our attention away from what it is that we want and what it is that we desire. And when it draws it away, what happens is we pour our energy into our issue or our problem or the temporal thing that's in front of us instead of maintaining an idea and being able to move towards it. And here's what happens, is that if you spend more energy here than you do there, this is going to grow and expand and become your reality, and that is going to become invisible to your experience. But if you have the power of mind, which you do, to be able to maintain your focus and put it there and not allow the triviality of your life to draw you from it, what will happen is that you will awaken and you will create a world that works for you and you will, in order, be able to create a world that works for all through the same process. So what I do is I travel around and I tell people that they can do it and that they are the light, they are the requirement, they are the need for us to be able to shift to larger consciousness in the world. Years ago, I had the experience of living in Southern California, and I had a farm in Southern California, and I was in the Central Valley or the Coachella Valley, which is near Palm Springs, just north of the Mexican border. And it was very, very hot there. It'd get up to 125 degrees during the summertime. And coming from Canada, it was not something that I wasn't used to that degree. And so what would happen is I would take my two beautiful babies and my wife, and we had a motorhome, and we would travel over to the West Coast, and we would go to a beach there. And it was a beautiful beach. It was a beach called San Onofre, and it was between San Diego and Los Angeles. And it was built, it was built on the Pacific Ocean, the beach, but the campground was up above over top of a cliff. And in order to get down to the beach, what you had to do was you had to walk through this little canyon, and the canyon entered out into the beach, and it was beautiful there, but as everything in Southern California, it was prickly, it was snarly, and it wasn't an easy walk. So some brilliant person decided that what they would do is they would build a paved pathway down to the beach. And the paved pathway was a great idea, and they built it. So when we would go there to get from the campground to the beach, we would walk down this winding path that went down something like a funnel, so that it started off quite broad and it went down. And walking through it was like really easy on the path, but all of the brambles and things were like raspberry brambles. What do you have here that sticks you and is hard to walk through? Blackberries, raspberries, so everything else was all jammed full of that. And so we would go down, I would take my kids, and we'd walk down to the beach, and we'd have a wonderful time at the beach. But one day, when I was moving and getting ready to go into ministry, I was thinking and contemplating about various things, and I can recall I had this magnificent dream, magnificent for me, hopefully for you, you'll enjoy it. But the dream really was that I was blind, and I was standing at the top of this pathway that went down to the beach. And I was trying to find my way down to the pathway. And what would happen to me is as I walked down, I would have moments where I would walk on the pathway and it was so smooth and easy. And then what would happen is I would step off the pathway and I would step into the brambles and the stickers. And when I stepped into the brambles and stickers, what would occur for me is I would feel the pain, I would feel the discomfort, and then what I would do is I would panic. And when I panicked, I would begin to run to try to get out of the pain and the discomfort. And as I ran, I would run deeper into the brambles and deeper into the stickers, and they would tear at me and hurt me more, and eventually I would find the flat paved area again, and I would be comfortable for a period of time until I stepped off the pathway and got stuck again. And the moral, and I really think in metaphors, the metaphor that I came up with was that up until that particular point had been exactly like my life. Is that what had happened is I've been going towards what it is that I want in my life. I see it clearly and I know that it exists. I know that it's already there. It's the beautiful lapping ocean. It's the cool breezes. It's the sandy beach. It's the place that I want to go. It's the destination. It's what I want in my life. And it lays there before me, and for me to get to it, what I need to do is I need to go down that pathway. I need to go down that canyon to be able to arrive there. And what had occurred to me I'd been doing throughout my life is that I had been missing the path, and I'd been panicking every time something occurred in my life. I'd head to what my goal was. I'd put it out in front of me. I'd lay it there so that I could see it. I know it existed. I knew that it was there, and I knew that I could have it. But as I went through that process to get to it, and as I began to walk through it, I would start off blind on the pathway, and I would walk along, and as soon as I felt the pain, I would panic. As soon as I felt the pain, what I would do is I would shift my consciousness from looking at what it is that I wanted, seeing the truth in what it is that I desired to experience, and instead what I would do is I would look at whatever the issue was. I would look at that relationship issue. I would look at that health issue. I would look at that financial issue. And everything poured into that, and I would panic, and I'd put all my energy towards that which I was experiencing as opposed to that which I wanted. And my priorities were so out of sync that I was constantly and consistently living in here, and the only time that I ever didn't was when I was comfortable for those two paces on that pathway before I hit the brambles again. And I would spend all of my time here wondering why I never got to what it is that I knew existed, realizing that what I was doing was I was focusing all my energy on the triviality, on the areas and the issues in my life, which really were concerned to me, but they did not mean a hill of beans, and I did not want them to expand and grow any more than they already were, and yet that's where I was. Do we have any relationship here? I thought so. My observation is that most people do that. my observation in life is most people do that. Some of the wisest people I've ever met in my life, as soon as they hit the brambles, seem to want to go to the brambles, and they want to talk about the brambles, they want to bring the brambles up, they want to issue and put it all out all around the place. And that is a terrifying thing, and yet that's something that occurs and something that takes place. So, you know, the realization for me was that I had to have a new way to be able to live my life and a new way to be able to follow that pathway to be able to achieve and bring into being what it is that I wanted in my experience. And I'll tell you how I found out the way to do it was to realize that life is just like that pathway and that to a large degree what we're doing is we're following it blind. We have a faith and we have an appreciation and a knowledge. We have a teaching that lays it out to us in perfection. It tells us that we live in a divine place. It tells us that if we're not living in awe, we're not paying attention. That it's there in front of us, this beauty, the magnificence of the love, the magnificence of the vitality and energy of the world around us, the magnificence of the abundance, which is uncountable throughout the universe. And somehow or other, we also know that it is done unto us, as the declarations say, according to where we spend our energy and where we spend our time. And so when we spend our time working upon the idea that there is something less than, that there is something that needs to be fixed, that there is something broken, then the end result is we get to expand and build it. Now, I'm not saying that things in your life are perfect and that you should deny them and not allow them to exist. But what I've learned is that I need to look at them and I need to give them the amount of attention that they deserve instead of giving them my whole life to make them grow. Years ago, I was a ski patroller in Canada and I twisted my knee. I actually twisted my knee on the very first day of ski patrolling. And they said, well, you can't be a ski patroller anymore because your next shift is, and I extended it. I got 3 weeks, so I got to heal my knee in a 3-week period of time, but I tore in the muscles in the back. But I remember getting out of bed one day, and I swung my legs off the bed, and I sat up in bed, and my wife came by, and she said, how are you feeling today? And I said, oh, God, my knee. It hurts so badly. And then I did that for a couple of days, and then I began to think about it, and I thought, yeah, you know what? This is crazy. My knee does hurt, and it was swollen. But I said, you know, I'm just feeding it constantly. So I said instead, when she asked me the third morning, she said, how are you doing? I said, you know, I feel pretty good. This leg works really well. This arm, my head is clear. I'm okay. I really am. Because what I was doing was I was neglecting all the good parts of my body, and I was really focusing on the pain that existed in a knee, which really was like this big in the whole scheme of my life. And what I've learned is that most of the problems I have in my life are this big in the scheme of my life. They are minuscule compared to the beauty and the magnificence and the abundance and the prosperity and the joy and the vitality and the energy of life all around us. They are minuscule. And yet, I have the ability, and I'll speak for myself because I'm almost certain there's avatars out here who don't do this, but at least that's what Paul tells me. So. But you know, I have this tendency to just focus on this thing to such a degree that it's debilitating. It doesn't matter, you know, if I have a bill show up in the mail and I don't think I have enough money to pay it, I focus on it to a degree that what it does is it helps draw and attract into my life more of that sensation of lack that fits in there. If I get up in the morning and I have a cold, I forget that all the rest of me is working in perfection, and I focus on that and wonder why my health begins to deteriorate. When my wife and I have an argument, which happens occasionally, my tendency is to focus on the argument instead of focusing on the love that resides behind it. When I go to my center and somebody comes along and says something that somehow or other upsets me, did that ever happen? But what I have a tendency to do is to put all my energy towards that upsetness rather than the energy towards the beauty and the light and the love and the joy and the productivity and the fulfillment that exists around me. And then I wonder why that develops and that grows. I see it that in churches all the time. That whole area that we do is a matter of putting an undue experience, an undue thought into something that doesn't deserve it. My teacher, Tom Costa, once I went to him and on a Sunday and I met with him and he said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Oh gosh, I'm really, really upset." And he said, "Well, why are you so upset?" I said, "Well, I'm upset because I have a meeting with my banker tomorrow and I'm not sure I can make my note on the farm." And he said, "So why are you upset today?" I said, "Well, because." And he said, "You know your banker is golfing today and that he's not even thinking about you." I said, "Well, yeah, I guess you're right." But that's what we do, isn't that right? So here's what I learned to do, and here's what this teaching's about, and here's how to put this teaching into practice, here's how to utilize it, here's how to make what it is that you want in your life come to be. You lay that truth out before you. You lay that ideal out before you. You can call it a vision, you can call it a goal, you can call it whatever you want. But what you do is you put it in front of you so that you can see it, you can understand it, you can appreciate it. And you come here, and believe me, people will tell you that it is the real truth of who you are. They will lay it out there and say, "No, love is the real truth of who you are. No, vitality and health is the real truth of who you are. No, prosperity and abundance is the real truth of who you are. No, fulfillment and productivity is the real truth of who you are." And there it lays in front of you. And then what they will do is they will tell you, when you set your mind in that order, what will happen is it will come into your experience. When your thoughts and your experience are equal, you will have the manifestation. And then what will occur is that you will go about your business saying that that's the most important thing in my life, and I understand and appreciate that that's the truth. And as you go through it, everything unlike it will show up in your experience as a bramble or a bush. And you will walk down that pathway knowing that that beach is there, knowing that it's there without question or without hesitation. And as you walk through it, what will happen is occasionally, because you are walking blind, you will step off the pathway and you will feel pain. And when you feel pain, you will remember this talk and you will say, "I will not panic. Instead, what I will do is I will take a breath and I will step back onto the pathway again. And I will take the next step and the next step. And when I step off again into those brambles, I will not panic. Because I see before me what it is that I desire and what it is that I want. And I will have the patience and I will have the temerity and I will have the tenacity to be able to control my experience to such a degree that I will know and have the faith that it must become a reality, providing I head towards it." But the minute that I start heading towards that which I don't want, what will happen is that which I don't want will take its place and become the reality of your experience in your life. And I've got news for you, or I've got news for me, because I don't want to step on any avatar's toes, but I've got news for you. Everything in my life that is filled with discomfort, everything in my life that I fear, everything that in my life that I don't want to have happen is something that I help build by going and putting the energy towards it instead of towards what I want. My entire focus in my life is to create a world that works for all. I bump into people all over the place that tell me how impossible that is. They tell me all kinds of stories about it, but the reality is I've addressed it and put my life in that direction, and I don't listen to them. Because what it is the temerity and the timidity, it is the minutiae of my life showing up to tell me that I cannot do something which my teaching says I can create whatever it is that I want, providing I believe it to be so and hold it to be true to a higher degree than that which I don't want, which I hold to be true. That is the creative process in activity and in action right here and right now, and it exists on the bigger picture and it exists for your life. when you lay before you what it is that you want. You want prosperity, you want health, you want love, you want fulfillment. You lay it out there and you put it in front of you as a light, and you refuse, refuse, refuse to back down from it and take something else as your lead. And as you walk through the pathway, it will show up. And as it shows up and as you step off, you will remember that you cannot afford to panic. And instead, what you do is you take a moment in your spiritual practice, because this teaching demands all of you, and you step back onto the pathway again, and you say thank you, and you take the next step on the path. That is my experience of how to bring into reality what it is I want. That is my experience how to teach others to bring into reality what they want. And when you are willing to give up that triviality, when you are willing to let it fall behind you, as the Bible says, get thee behind me, Satan. When you are willing to allow that idea to trail you as opposed to lead you, what will happen is you will create a world that works for you. It is a simple teaching. It is not necessarily easy to put it into activity or action. But you know what? We build these little cadres of people, these communities that we call centers. And together what we do is we go out and share that truth and live that truth, and we emanate that truth in everything that we do. And we are an attractive force when we live from it. We are not attractive when we live from our pain. We are attractive when we live from our truth. And that's how you grow a center. That's how you grow your life. And that's how we create a world that works for all. God bless you. I'm so honored to be here. Thank you.
Dr. Ken Gordon. All right, let's take a few moments now. Take this wisdom as Lisa and Etika get set up. And I'm going to do a treatment, spiritual mind treatment, an affirmative prayer in the first person. And I invite you to take it for yourself. I invite you to take the ideas that resonated with you from Dr. Ken, set aside the others. There'll be time to think of them later. And this is what I know. I know that all is one. The oneness of God, the oneness of Spirit, that includes the world and me, everything seen and unseen. And as I recognize this, I realize that I am not on a path waiting for God's guidance. I am the wisdom of God, walking the path that is God, heading for a manifestation made of God in a world that is nothing but God. I am not within the presence of God. I am an individual expression of this power of Spirit. So I realize that all the power I need to do anything I desire is right where I am. I have the consciousness, I have the wisdom, I have the desire, and as I focus my attention forward, I give no power at all to those snarly little voices off to the side, to the brambles and the bushes. I move confidently on the path, knowing that the same mind that takes me off the path is the mind that can get me back on. So as I recognize this, I begin to look at my life, the things that I like and the things I would like to be different. I look at the world, the things that I like and the things that I would like to be different, and realize they're one and the same. So I begin to focus my consciousness here in this still sacred place within me, not just in the morning or in the evening or in my quiet time, but all the time. I focus on a greater idea. I focus on a life filled with love and joy and peace and abundance, great opportunities for creativity, I focus on being surrounded by friends who love me, and I love them. I focus on a family that supports me. I focus on a spiritual center that helps me grow. And as my mind begins to expand into the world, I focus on a world whose natural nature is peace, a world where war is an aberration and not to be tolerated. I focus on a world where all are fed, all are clothed, all have a chance to grow, and recognize that all my brothers everywhere are one with me and with God. So as I recognize this truth and accept it completely and allow this to occupy my mind, there is no room for anything else. I give thanks for the wisdom that I hear from so many places. I give thanks for the wisdom that comes from within. And as I allow that wisdom to express and manifest in my life and in the world, everything changes. Everything becomes better and better and greater. And I realize this is a natural outcome of focusing on God. Knowing this, I release this idea, this greater idea, into consciousness, knowing that even now, everything is rearranging itself in order to make this idea real. And I smile as I see it. I accept it and I release it into consciousness, letting it be so. And we all say together, and so it is.